motion to her to come and to join him, he wanted to thank her. And as he thanked her, he finished, and she looked him in the eye, and she said, "Mr. Wilkinson, you must go to Romania." And that's all she said. And he said some other kind words to her, and she said, "Mr. Wilkinson, you must go to Romania and to Russia." And six times in the course of this brief little conversation, that's all she said to him. He said, "Would you remain here while I speak, and then we'll get together after I finish my address?" And so he spoke to the convention, and they got back together. And this woman, Mrs. Bridges, told this marvelous story of how these Romanian Christians had gotten a hold of some of Walk Through the Bible's study materials, and how it had had a profound impact on their lives. And they told Mrs. Bridges, "Now you're going back to America. We want you to find Mr. Wilkinson and tell him he must come to Romania with his ministry." And she said, "Well, I don't live in the same part of the country as Dr. Wilkinson. I don't know him. He's a Christian bigwig, and I will never meet him." And come to find out, here she is at this banquet. She was not to give the offering project that night, by the way. The fellow who was supposed to do it got sick just before the meeting, and so they had asked her to do this. Bruce said he went home from that meeting, and for the next few months, he wrestled with God. He said, "Lord, I'm just too busy. I am committed for the next 2 years in speaking engagements and programming and so on. I just do not have the time to schedule a trip to Romania and Russia." But nevertheless, God prevailed. And he cleared some of his schedule and he made a trip. And while he was in the Soviet Union, he was reintroduced to his old friend Paul Eshelman. Paul Eshelman is with Campus Crusade, and he is the producer of the Jesus film. By the way, just as a sidelight, they are telling us now, Campus Crusade are telling us, that the Jesus film has been translated into, I think it was about 150 different languages, and has been shown to almost a billion people in the world with marvelous response. So anyways, Bruce meets Paul over there, and they begin to talk about what's going on in the educational system in the former Soviet Union. And Paul said, "Bruce, we have an invitation from the Minister of Education to come in and to develop a course on Christian ethics and morality centered on the person of Christ and the Word of God to be taught in the public schools K through 12. Now, we don't even get to pray in our schools. And we're being asked, the West is being asked, to come in and to teach teachers how to teach these courses on Christian ethics and morality centered around the Word of Christ and the person of Christ. Bruce came back to America. He's headquartered in Atlanta, and he thought, "I wonder what it would look like if we could get a number of Christian organizations to cooperate together, to bring all their resources together in a common strategy and a common vision." And so he called Dr. Paul Kinnell, who's with the Association for Christian Schools International. And he called Paul Eshelman, and he said, "Paul, I think we need to meet again. Come to Atlanta, and let's the three of us hammer out a strategy and a vision, and let's see if we can't take this the next step." They met. They came up with an agreed-upon strategy. They then wrote to Christian leaders of different organizations throughout the United States, and in January of this year, they invited them to the Moody Church to meet and to see whether God wouldn't bring off this common vision and strategy together. So they met at the Moody Church, and they discussed this strategy that Bruce and Paul Kinnell and Paul Eshelman had put together. And as a side note to that particular meeting in January, one of the gentlemen was a bit of a church historian. And he got a hold of the microphone toward the end of the meeting, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I need to remind you of something that happened here in 1917. Same church, the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. Same type of group, Christian leaders invited from around America. Same agenda to see whether we couldn't come up with a cooperative strategy and vision and effort into the Soviet Union. And nothing was done. We left that meeting, and we did not agree to do anything. And then the door slammed closed, and it has been closed for 74 years. He said, ladies and gentlemen, let's not miss this window of opportunity. Let's make sure that we go for it. The navigators were invited to that meeting in January, but our president, Terry Taylor, very wisely declined to go. He told Bruce that we were really in favor of what he had on his heart, but that because of the way that we make decisions, he would prefer that Bruce come to Glen Eyrie and that he would fly in the national leaders from around the country so that Bruce could brief them. And then if they were in favor of the commission, it would have the full support and endorsement of all the national leaders of the navigators. And so on April 2nd, over in the Pink House, Bruce Wilkerson flew out. We flew in all the national leaders. We met for 5 hours on a Thursday with Dr. Wilkerson, and he laid this phenomenal vision and strategy out before us. We came back the next morning without Dr. Wilkerson, just the NAV leadership, to decide what we were going to do and whether we were going to involve ourselves in that project. I went home that night and I told Nancy, I said, my heart, just, I felt like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. My heart burned within me. And I came back to that meeting the next morning. I think I've had about 18 consecutive years on the National Leadership Council of the Navigators in the U.S. And I've made this statement before. I have never seen a group of national leaders, navigators, come together and in 2 hours agree on such a significant commitment. And it really was a significant commitment. The 24 leaders were absolutely unanimous that we would have to have a sheet lowered down from heaven saying, don't join this, in order for us to refuse our involvement in this particular project. And so that morning we made a commitment that we would send 2,000 one-year missionaries over the next 5 years, 400 a year for the next 5 years. And those of you familiar with the NAVs know that that's not a traditional sending pattern for us. We're a little more conservative than that, but we really felt compelled that this is a window of opportunity in Russia that we needed to address, and we needed to rally as many people as we possibly can. Again, as a side note, we have our first two teams ready to go in October. There are 17 people. We've only been operating for about 10 weeks, a little over that, I guess, 10 or 12 weeks on this project. 17 people ready to go. Let me give you the profile. Two of them are students. 15 of them are lay people. 4 of them are navigators, navigator staff. When we first sent our first communication out to the NAV staff, I had a call from Tom Einen. He was the first one to call me, and he said, he's a NAV staff leader on the East Coast, and he said, Bob, I want to have the privilege to lead that first team into Russia. It's really on my heart. He said, my kids are all gone and grown, and I'd like to spend at least a year out there, so can I take that first team? Now, the other 13 people, 11 people, are all folks just like yourself. They range in age from 23 to 60. We have a pastor who is going. His church has given him a leave of absence. He's 60 years old. His wife cannot go with him, and I was very concerned about that. In fact, insisted that she come out here for a weekend with him, and we make sure we interviewed him thoroughly. The reason she can't go is she's terribly arthritic, and she could not handle the weather and so on. But the first group that go out only go for 10 months, and we'll probably fly her out midterm for a little R&R with her husband. But we have had some absolutely fantastic responses. 72-year-old pastor, his wife had died at Valentine's Day, and he called us and said, could you use me? Would you let me go? And because of health reasons, we said, no, we won't let you go for the 1 year commitment. But what we'll do is that you can travel in with our supervisors, and you can go in 2 or 3 times a year and be an encouragement to those young troops that are out there on the mission field. So there's room in the commission for just about anybody that wants to go. Now let me show you what's going to happen. This is the the overview, if you would, of the co-mission. The big idea here is that there are 150 school districts in the former Soviet Union. There are approximately 800 public schools per district. So that's a total, if you multiply those out, of 120,000 schools in the former Soviet Union. The big idea of the co-mission is to recruit 12,000 people. Now, we're talking about all of the organizations. The NAVs have taken on 2,000. But the co-mission is to recruit 12,000 people who will go for 1 year over the next 5 years and hopefully plant a little discipleship cell group in every public school in the former Soviet Union. Now, you and I know that that's probably a very ambitious and an overstated objective. But nevertheless, it is a compelling vision, and it is doable, and it really does kind of get your blood boiling, doesn't it, to think about that. Here's what happens. The teachers, the Minister of Education in the Soviet Union takes one school district, 800 schools, he sends out an invitation to those schools to send a representative to a four-day convocation. And at the convocation, those teachers, they are the lead teachers, usually the principal, will be taught how to teach other teachers this course on Christian ethics and morality centered on the person of Christ and the Word of God. They come together for the 4 days. During the 4 days, the Jesus film is shown. That Jesus film is having a profound impact on people. Apparently what happens in these convocations is that the Russian teachers sit there with their arms folded for about the first 2 days saying, "What do you have to teach us?" And then as they show the Jesus film, the walls begin to come down. It is reported that over 50% of the teachers are making some kind of a spiritual commitment toward Jesus Christ. 85% of the teachers agree to take the course and the Jesus film back to their school and to show it to the entire student body and to bring all of the parents together of those children and to show it to the parents. And so what happens then is that we get out here to the end where the parents and teachers come together to see a showing of the Jesus film, and out of that, apparently in each school, about 400 people come to this showing, and about half of them ask to be in a weekly discipleship group. And that's when the co-mission really takes off. And we hope to be discipling people all across that great nation. So that gives you a kind of the big idea and a feel for what's going on or what we're intending to do with the co-mission. Now, I want to show you a brief video. It's about 10 minutes. And then I want to come back up and fill in a few of the gaps, and you may have some questions that you want to ask us regarding this. So, Steve, we're just about ready here.
God that crushed the walls of Jericho reached out his hand towards Moscow. One by one, entire nations, starry-eyed with the promise of freedom, stood up and threw off their chains. Today, the people of the former Soviet Union are free to think as they please. But now that they have the right to choose, will they choose what is right? Will they buy into Western materialism and greed? Will they be lured by pornography or dazzled by cults? Will they grow weary of new ideas and resurrect the idols of the past? Or will they trade it all for the pearl of great price, the eternal truth of God's Word? The choice isn't entirely up to them. It also depends on you, on whether you will add your voice to the great choir, the remarkable new partnership of Christian ministries known as the Commission.
God certainly works in mighty and dramatic ways, doesn't he? When communism crumbled in the former Soviet Union, the Lord began to burden the hearts of ministry leaders in the West. Here stood a nation of nearly 300 million people, just waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. We had to act, and we had to act together, and we had to act quickly. But the task seemed overwhelming. How could we possibly reach such a vast number of people? Well, that's when the Lord moved in a miraculous way. And through an extraordinary sequence of events, he called together several Christian ministry leaders for a historic one-day meeting. And out of that meeting, a unique alliance of ministries was born. We called it the Commission. For the first time in history, in a project of this vast magnitude, Christian ministries are joining together to accomplish what none could accomplish alone. What started with just three organizations has literally exploded into dozens. And this unprecedented effort continues to grow, even as I speak to you right this moment. We are pooling our talents and our resources to build a massive cooperative force, pursuing a compelling vision that has never been paralleled. Friends, I firmly believe that God has formed this incredible alliance called the Commission, and that He will empower us to fulfill His great purpose for Russia.
Right now, the 300 million people of the Commonwealth of Independent States are wide open to God's Word. So open, they've invited us to help lay a foundation for Christian education in their public schools. Even as you watch this, the Commission is implementing a complete strategy to help them do just that. To rebuild an entire society on the truth of God's Word. Today, the CIS has 150 school districts. Already, hundreds of Russian teachers and administrators per district are coming for 4 days of intensive training. They're being trained how to teach a course called Christian Ethics and Morality in their own classrooms, so that they, in turn, can reach millions of Russian school children with the Bible. During these seminars, the Russian teachers are shown the Jesus film. After watching, more than half have made a voluntary choice to renounce atheism and come to Christ. But if these teachers are going to follow through on their commitment to reach students with the Bible, they need more than a four-day seminar. They need long-term encouragement and training from Christian friends. In other words, they need you to disciple them, to be a friend, to just be there. Soon, 1,200 teams of 10 people each, 12,000 in all, will spend a year in the CIS in what many are calling the largest Christian people lift in history. And you could easily be one of them. After 3 weeks of intensive training, you'll be prepared for the adventure of a lifetime. Where else would a typical day include teaching the Bible to bright-eyed children who hang with wonder on your every word? Or sharing dinner in the home of a Russian couple, helping them apply God's healing word to their troubled marriage? You'll show the Jesus film and even help lead a small group Bible study using a weekly series of videos translated into the local language. In other words, if you know how to hug a child, pray with a friend, or find the play button on a VCR, you're halfway to finding a place in the Commission. And with just a little training, financial support from friends and churches, and a whole lot of prayer, we can help you go the rest of the way. You've always suspected that God had something special in mind for you, and you've always believed that when the call came, you would know that this is for me. Is the Commission for you? Does the chance to leave your mark on history seem important enough to you? Does the challenge of being a spiritual mentor to your new friends inspire you? Is the chance to make lifelong friends in a strange new country appealing to you? Or the opportunity to actually taste borscht, see the Kremlin, or watch the sun setting over the Caspian Sea? This is not a decision to put off. In 5 years, the People Lift is scheduled to be complete. And even less time than that, the Russian people will grow tired of being barraged by new ideas, both good and bad. We must act now. But while the opportunity is fleeting, the rewards will last forever. You will return from this a different person, filled with confidence, a deeper Christian walk, and the inner certainty that God is working through you. truly, this could be the defining moment of your Christian life. Will you go? Will you go and be the living word to those who have never even held a Bible in their hands? Please search your heart, pray, and decide.
Well, it's quite an opportunity, isn't it? I just came back from my first trip to the Soviet Union, and my observation to you would be that everything you hear is understated, both the good and the bad. Crime is rampant. There is poverty everywhere. People are living literally hanging on to the screen door. There's great confusion in terms of what does free enterprise mean. They feel more secure under the old communist regime, because at least under communism they had a job. They could put their name on a list and eventually get a little 600 square foot flat. They could get food. They had to line up to get it. But now all of those things are very uncertain to them. And it's very, very frustrating and confusing for them. And we're not talking about just the common person on the street. We're talking about a lot of the educated people that we had contact with on this first trip over. And it's almost as if they would prefer to go back to the comfort of having all of that provided for them. And so there's great confusion. Let me give you a couple of little reports that I've just picked up over the past few weeks. I have a friend who's the national youth director for the Christian Missionary Alliance, one of the 42 Christian organizations headquartered here in Colorado Springs. And he was telling me, he just came back from Russia. And I said, well, how did it go? He said, Bob, I couldn't believe it. He said, they took me from classroom to classroom. To classroom to classroom, from school to school, from school to school. And all I did was share the gospel in every class. They just asked me to preach Jesus in every class, and kids were responding. He said, I couldn't even begin to count the number of children that had responded. I got a call from David Dix, who's with OMS. Just about 2 weeks ago, he was calling me on a business item, and he said, you may be interested to know, I just got back from Russia. I was at one of these convocations that take place out there. And I said, well, David, tell me, what was your observation? And he said, well, Bob, I have studied missions, and I have studied revivals. And he said, I'm not sure that I've ever seen one. But what's going on in Russia could be the beginnings of something very, very significant in the kingdom of God. We had seven people on our little trip, and this was a logistical trip to see whether we could find housing for the people that we're going to be sending. Not just for the 17 in October, but in January we should have close to 50 or 60, and then next August we're looking at 100 to 200 people that will go out. And from here on out it'll be January and August all the way out to 1997 for the next 5 years. That'll be our sending times. So the seven of us went over there to scout out these different cities and to find out, is it possible? Is it doable? And one of the couples, an elderly couple, retired couple, who have given a year of their lives just to the logistical part of this whole thing, they went down to a city called Ivanovo. And it was a Wednesday. And Jim told us kind of jokingly afterward, he said, now, you know, when you end up in a new city and you're my age and you're a Baptist, what do you want to do on a Wednesday night? And he said, I had to find one of those things. And so he found, now listen to this, a Louisiana Baptist preacher. He'd been in the country for 6 weeks. He had a Wednesday night meeting, 650 people at the meeting. Jim said 150 of them made some kind of a commitment to Jesus Christ that night. There's something very significant happening in Russia. We have a dear friend from the East Coast. They come out several times a year. And they've been great friends of the NAVS over the years. And I was driving in the gate where you guys came in, and they were going out, and we stopped our cars and jumped out of the cars. And Leon grabbed a hold of me and said, "I got to tell you, I just came back from Russia. Let me tell you what happened. I was at one of these convocations." And of course, by now I can almost repeat the story without them even telling me what they experienced. But he said he had a group of 10 teachers, and he personally led 9 of them to Christ. Jenny's group, all of them came to Christ. Plus, one of the teachers in Jenny's group went and rounded up her whole class and brought them so Jenny could also share this important message with these children. There's something significant going on in Russia. We sat in Moscow in one of these little 600 square foot flats with a young American couple, Don and Paul Geiger, that are on the New Life staff, Campus Crusade staff. And I said, "Paul, describe to me what you're doing." He said, "Bob, I am so busy." He said, "There is no way I can handle what I'm doing." He said, "We've done convocations here in Moscow, and I have 36 schools calling me regularly to come and to help them in Bible studies with the other teachers and with the parents and with the children." And he said, "It's impossible for me to handle it." There is something very, very significant going on in Russia. But on the flip side of the coin, where there's something going on for the kingdom of God, there's always something going on for the kingdom of darkness, the dominion of darkness. When I left St. Petersburg, the day we left, 70,000 Jehovah's Witnesses from Western Europe were meeting for a weekend conference in St. Petersburg. We understand that the Mormons have committed 15,000 people to go over the next 2 years. So 12,000 for the co-mission is not all that great. But we're excited about it. We think it's a worthy project, and we're really excited about what God is leading us into. So we want to take some time now to field some of your questions, and then I'm going to introduce you to my good friend and colleague, Lauren Libby, who heads up our Communications and Development Department. But before Lauren comes, I'm sure some of you may have some questions, and we'll entertain anything. You can't embarrass me. I may not have the answer, but you won't embarrass me by any questions. You can just remain seated. Yes, good to see you again. Thank you. That's not a plant, okay? Jim?
How do you handle language and housing?
Okay, the question is, how do we handle language and housing? Let me take the housing. Very interesting when you're dealing with people who have no idea of private ownership. See, they don't even know if they own the flat that they live in. And so we have this contract. It's got the Russian version. It's a realty contract with a Russian-English version of this, and right now we think it's not going to be a problem. We're able to scout out in every city that we're thinking of going to, Jim. We looked at all kinds of apartments, flats, and readily available. Of course, what they're after is the hard currency. They're willing to rent a flat to you for $200 or $300 a month and move in with their in-laws when you figure that the average Russian makes somewhere between $20 and $30 a month. So to rent a flat to you for a couple of $100, they're more than willing to do that. So it's not a big problem at this. We don't know when we get into the kinds of the numbers that we're going to need, because when we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000, the total commission, 2,000 people in country, we're going to need about 1,000 of these flats in the different cities. So we don't know how that's going to work.
Do you have plans of going into
Tbilisi? Not immediately. We're sticking primarily to Russia, And we'll start off and we'll follow the convocations. The Jesus film and those convocations have had a head start on us. In fact, we've got 18 cities already where convocations have taken place, and that's where we'll place our first teams. And they're mostly in and around Moscow, St. Petersburg. Thank you. The language issue. For every commission person that goes, we have figured into their budget a salary for an interpreter. And so that interpreter will be with them for the entire year. What we do is hire upper-level university students. And that's how we take care of the language. Now, we realize that that's very inadequate, particularly when you're thinking of a contextualized ministry. But we feel that the need is so great, and the opportunity, that door, that window of opportunity could slam closed. I mean, every day you pick up the paper, you see a civil war breaking out in one of those little republics. And we just don't know how long the door is going to remain open. The navigator part of it, we are also going to do some language introduction and training throughout the whole year of the term that the person is on the field. One of the things that really is a compelling thing for me in this whole project is that if we are able to send 2,000 people, the navigators are able to recruit and send 2,000 people over the next 5 years, our belief is that about 20% of those will want to return to the field and invest their lives as career missionaries. Well, 20% of 2,000 is 400. Presently, we have 400 American missionaries serving overseas. So in a five-year period, we would double our present missionary force. And to me, that's something that really is compelling in this whole. Look at the 1 year. There's going to be a great contribution that people are going to be able to make for 1 year. But we also know that there are going to be a great number of them that are going to want to go back and serve with the navigators long term. And if we could have 300, 400, 500 of those back in the country at the end of 5 years, it's a fantastic way to really rev up our missions program in Russia and to get a large number out there. Jim, I'm in contact with Link Care, and they have come up. Don Larson, who used to be with the Toronto Institute of Linguistics, has developed a new program that they've used in about 8 different languages right now, and it's called Barefoot Language Learning. And it's taking all the, he's 65 years old, his whole life has been as a linguist, and he has developed the basic concepts of how you learn a language. And so he is making that available to us for our commission people with the NAVs. And we're really, really excited about that. It's a brand new program, but we think it's going to have a big impact. Okay, other questions? Minimum age 21. From there on out, if you're taking a healthy breath every morning, you can go. Yeah, there's no upper limit. It's really, you know, obviously the conditions there are quite brutal. I've traveled to a lot of countries in the world, but I have not been in many places that are just tougher. It is a very depressing and very severe kind of situation. I mean, you get on a bus in Moscow and your nose is up against the window with all these people crammed in there, and transportation is very inadequate and those kinds of things. So it's going to be a testy time, but no age limit. Thank you. An excellent question. From what level of authority does our invitation come to enter into Russia? On November the 4th in Anaheim, California, the Association for Christian Schools International are having a regional convention. 8,000 teachers will be there. The commission will officially be launched at that meeting by the Minister of Education from the Soviet Union. So that's where the level is, but you know, that could change overnight. From Russia, that's correct, from Russia. We have invitations into Albania, Bulgaria, and Romania in addition to the Soviet Union. There are other Commonwealth countries where we're in contact with government officials, but we have not worked out the invitations at this point. And I'm glad we haven't, because we've got our plate full just trying to catch up with what we have already. But civil war and government change are the things that really are scary in this whole project.
We see long food lines on TV, and there's only one McDonald's over there.
I visited that McDonald's. I wanted to have a cultural experience. It is the wildest McDonald's that you have ever seen in your life. Russians don't line up. They just move in a herd toward the front of the thing. And yet it's not really aggressive. It's really a kind of a unique thing, but they're, you know how we all queue up behind one another. They just move in a herd on this thing. But the food issue is probably my greatest concern. We are going to place our initial teams up in St. Petersburg. And if you know your geography, St. Petersburg is a very short flight to Helsinki. If we had to evacuate our people in a hurry, we could do that. We have information from the U.S. consulate that was about 6 weeks old prior to President Bush's visit with the European powers just about a month ago. The older information said that Yeltsin probably would not survive the winter, that the food riots and so on, that the hardliners and the KGB would probably take back the country in a coup. Bush has promised grain credits and has told Yeltsin that if he is not in power, they will withdraw the grain credits. So the U.S. consulate in Moscow are more encouraged. They feel that Yeltsin now has a little bit of leverage to keep the hardliners somewhat in line through this next winter. Food is going to be a huge problem. There has been talk for the commission people of warehousing food and that kind of a thing, and we are really against that. We feel that that would not be right, that we need to figure out and to stand in those long lines like everybody else and try to make this thing fly that way. But that's easy for us to say standing here. I've been there, and those, by the way, the lines didn't exist when I was there in June and July. The lines didn't exist because there was nothing to buy in the stores. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they were totally empty. There was nothing to buy. You couldn't buy bread. You couldn't buy meat. It was gone. And we're talking June and July. I hate to think what it's going to be like in December. A couple more. Thank you, Jim. The training involved. One of the things that when we came into this project with the other Christian organizations, and we were about one of the last groups to come on board. As soon as we came on board, Dr. Wilkinson and Campus Crusade asked the navigators to take charge of the training of the entire 12,000, not just the 2,000 that are going out under the navigators. So our staff have put together there are 4 weeks of training. There's 2 weeks here prior to leaving. There's 1 week immediately when they get in the country, and then another week several months into the program. And that's how we're going to handle that, Jim. It's not the kind of thing that we're traditionally used to. We would like to spend 6 months with each person and make sure they're well indoctrinated in man-to-man and small group and that kind of a thing. But at least we're going to bring our distinctive into that training module. You can be sure of that, and we're really excited about it.
Cost per person?
Cost per person is approximately $20,000. That's the total package. That includes all of the transportation. That includes all of the training environment. That's domestic travel to get to the training site, domestic travel to get to the point of departure, going over. At the six-month point, we bring everybody out of the country into Western Europe. We're going to go to Switzerland on the first cut for 1 week so that they can all go gorge themselves on ice cream and chocolate and then send them back for another 6 months. But, you know, there's the logistical side of this thing is really a nightmare, because think of just medical care, just even dental work. You would not go to a dental clinic or a medical facility, a Russian medical facility. Now, in Kiev and Petersburg and Moscow and the major cities, there are either Swedish or German or in some cases American facilities available. But it's going to be a real dicey situation. So we're in the process right now of recruiting doctors and dentists who will go with our traveling supervisors from the U.S. and go in for a couple of weeks, take the people in St. Petersburg and bring them all together for physicals and all of that. So we're going to try and cover it that way. No, the programs are well defined in terms of what they are teaching and what they're developing with the Russians, but also for their own personal growth and development. The commission, all of the other organizations have agreed that we should use the scriptural roots of ministry study that has been prepared by the navigators for the personal growth and development of every commission.
That's for the missionary.
That's for the missionary.
Correct.
That's all. That's all outlined. That it's not optional. It walked through the Bible, Campus Crusade, and the Navigators, and the Navigators taking the leading edge in terms, even the determination of the materials to be used in the development of the Russian converts, is determined by the Navigators. I mean, we have the leading edge on that. Yeah, the $20,000 is a total year's package that includes $300 a month of salary, which from the salary they need to buy their own food and incidentals, and you could not, if you tried very, very hard, you couldn't spend $300 a month in Russia.
What I'm saying is they won't have to earn on their own.
Right. Yeah.
That will include the interpreter.
That's everything. That's transportation. That's local transportation and interpreter and equipment. They'll be taking video players and TVs and whatnot.
One other question. The Orthodox churches, what is their response?
Thank you. A great question. The church situation is very, very ticklish. The Orthodox Church believes that every soul in Russia belongs to them, and then you have to go in and localize that, because you've got some Orthodox priests who are fine, born again men, and who are really interested in what's going on. You have others that are very resistant. At the national level, at the leadership level, the Orthodox Church is having a fit. That would be the best way to describe it. Then you have all of the other churches are categorized as Baptist, and that's a whole range of different denominations. We would isolate those out, but basically they're known as Baptists. They don't have necessarily a great reputation because of certain compromises along with the Orthodox Church that was made under communism. Then you have another whole stream of the underground church. And the underground church, now coming above board, feel that they're the only true church, that they really held to and did not cave in to and compromise. And so it's going to be a very difficult situation. Our instruction to our navigator people in the cities in which they go, they will try to relate to the local church that's there. And we're just going to have to feel our way on that one. By the way, one of the neat things that's happening in terms of all of these different organizations coming together, the strengths of organizations begin to surface. We've been approached by three church planting organizations that are members of the commission, and they've said, we would like to pull up alongside the navigators because we like discipleship and so on, and that when you leave that particular city after you've fulfilled the commission strategy, we would like to work with those people in terms of developing local churches, etc. And that's a new thing for us to have that available to us. But you see the strengths of different organizations coming together to cooperate, and it's really neat.
Is there a follow-up program per se being anticipated or being planned?
Yes. Each commission team, now we send these people out in teams of 10, okay? And they're working with a number of schools in a geographic location. They're there, the first team is there for 1 year. We send the next team right in on top of them. They're there for the second year, and then we send another team in for a third year. So we will actually have people in continuous Bible study and leadership development for 3 years in those locations. And it's kind of exciting. These are great questions. I need to capture all of these and put them into the presentation. Okay, unless you have another burning question. Good. The next group will go out. They actually will leave January 17th. They come in to Glen Eyrie for training on January 1st. And then they take 2 weeks of training, take a day off, get on the airplane, fly Chicago to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to Moscow. Spend 4 days in orientation in Moscow. Basically, we take you down to the subway and get you lost and let you try to figure out how to get home. and then you're off from Moscow to your city of destination. And the NAVs have chosen, we're going to start in Petersburg with our first teams. We'll go to Pushkin, which is a suburb. It's a smaller city right outside of Petersburg. And then we're going to go to Kiev, primarily because we have one of our NAV staff who's had Russian experience is going back to Kiev. He's in the States right now, and he's going to Kiev, and he would like us to send some teams in there. So, and, of course, we have to go where those convocations have already taken place, and it so happens that that works out well. Thank you. Great question. We bring everybody together that we've accepted about 90 to 120 days before they need to be ready to go, and we give them 3 days of fundraising training. Now, I attended, Lauren Libby and his team created this fundraising school. I've been on the NAV staff since 1966. I attended this 3-day fundraising school. Those short-term missionaries got more help than I've ever had in fundraising. I mean, Lauren and his team did a phenomenal job. They actually came together. They did some Bible study on, you know, it's okay to ask people for money. They got on the phone and made an appointment with a person local in town just to have the experience. Oh, they actually role-played first on a phone call on how you make an appointment. Then they got on the phone. They made the appointments. The next night, they had to go out with a leader and actually make a call and make a presentation. They came in with their donor list, their friends and relatives and so on, 200 and 300 people on their donor list on a Thursday night. When they left on Sunday, they had all of their letters customized, personalized. All they had to do was sign them and put them in the envelopes and send them in the mail. They were all ready to go. It was the most thorough fundraising that I've ever seen. So. Great question. The commission has come together for a 5-year project. We will conclude at the end of 1997. Then the commission will totally dissolve and go out of business. Each sending organization, like the Navigators, if we have people there that want to remain there, we can continue that. But the commission goes out of business in 1997 as it relates to the former Soviet Union. What we hope to do in this whole strategy is raise up 1 million prayer partners over the next 5 years, and when we go out of business at the end of 1997, to ask those 1 million people to begin to pray for China and to see whether God wouldn't do something similar and to concentrate all of that prayer. But the commission, as it relates to the CIS, will go out of business in 1997. It's a 5-year program. So, you know, life is short. Don't waste your time. Sign up quick. Lauren Libby, why don't you come on up and share with these folks how they can get further involvement.
And you can close it out. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Let me ask you a question. What do you think will happen as a result of 12,000, and we're not talking about missionaries, we're talking about 12,000 lay people going to Russia for a year, involved in discipling Russians who come home to the United States? What do you think will happen in local churches and in local congregations and in country and cities all across the U.S. with 12,000 people who have an experience like that? That's why I really get excited. I get very, very excited about the possibilities of the commission, about giving hands-on discipling, laboring training to lay people in a very real, real bullets type situation. And I would like to lay a challenge before you tonight. And I have two words, and I would like to challenge you with two things. Either go or give. Either go yourself, and you'll notice on the chair there's a little envelope. And on the envelope, it basically has two boxes. In the first box, it talks about, I'm interested in going to the former Soviet Union for a year, or I know someone who's interested. Please send me more information. And the information you get will be an actual application. You can get an application and fill it out to be one of those people, one of those 12,000 people, particularly one of the 2,000 people who will go with the navigators. And I have to tell you that in viewing the training, you will come back a changed person, not only because of your involvement with Russians, but the depth of training that you'll get over the next year will profoundly equip you in having your own personal ministry when you get back. It will be a life-changing experience. Secondly, if you want to financially help support the co-mission through the navigators, our current remaining financial need, as I looked at it today, was $245,000. That's the remaining need. And if you divide that by 2,000 people going for the navigators, it will take $122.50 per person, basically, to recruit, serve, and lead the commission people with the remaining need. That breaks down to $10.21 a month to recruit, lead, and serve a person going on the commission. For two people, it would be $245, if my arithmetic's correct, or $20.41 a month. Three people, $367.50, or $30.61 a month. If you'd like to support 10 people, that's $1,225, or $102.08 a month. Basically, it's increments of $10 a month. Either one, two, three, four, five, however many people you'd like to underwrite in terms of recruiting, serving, and giving leadership to the commission. I'd call that value. It really is when you stop and think about it for $10 a month or $20 a month or $30 a month for just the next 12 months. And that's what I'd like to challenge you. Either go or give. You realize in October, 50 people, not only from the navigators, but from the other sending agencies, will arrive here at Glen Eyrie to be trained before they go to the Soviet Union. 50 people this year. The navigators got involved in the commission on April the 2nd. I did a little research, and those 50 people that will be going is a larger movement, with the exception of three of the largest sending agencies in America. That'll be more people going in 1 year at one time than we've had probably in the last 10 of 50 people going overseas. If, let's just suppose 2,000 people, or 4,000, or 5,000, and we never get the 12,000 people, the single largest missionary movement in the history of the modern church was 700 people in the Student Volunteer Association. What we're talking about is being a part of probably, potentially, one of the largest movements in modern church history. And, you know, I can get excited about that. So let me challenge you. Either go or give, and do it tonight. Fill out your card. If you'd like to get more information on the commission, be sure you put your name, address, city, state, zip, telephone, and you can leave them right outside the door. There's a little basket out there, but let me really challenge you to do that. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. And I tell you, when we get together, if we get together 5 or 6 years from now, if the Lord continues to keep the door open, I think there will be people laboring all across the U.S. whose lives were profoundly changed by spending a year in the CIS or Russia. Why don't we close the evening with prayer? Lord, we are reminded tonight that the harvest is plentiful. But the problem is always, Lord, the laborers are few. And Father, I would pray that you would lay on people's hearts to labor, to either be involved personally or to be involved financially in helping others to go. So, Lord, I would pray that tonight for each one of us, would you help us answer the question, either go or give. And, Lord, I would pray in advance. We know that laborers come in response to prayer. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so, Lord, tonight we ask you to send people into Russia. Lord, we pray that an entire generation would be entirely turned around to the values and relationship of knowing you personally. In Jesus' name, amen.